Okay, today's share, I'm going to come back to earth a little bit. We say come back at least to the dock. You know, in the last couple of shiur, we were flying all around Shas, talking about the inyanim like Eini Rei Midrabanan being Eini Rei Midraisa, or Surya Noah having Vailus, and those are really, really Shas sugyas. So we try to include a little bit of the breath of the sugya in the shiur. Today we are, I think, staying on Bava Kama Dafai and Alchem Beis. I don't know if it's going to make it easier or harder, but we're going to stay on the fine Alchem Beis. So we're up to Amar Rava. The truth is there's two Amar Ravas, and really we're actually up to both of them, because we put together two kashas. The Gemara asks the kasha first at the top of the Amud. The first piece on the Amud, the Gemara asks that by Tavech Lavoy de Zara, since it goes in stages, you know, given the Shachar Braporta, once you do a little bit of the Shechita, you make it into Avodah Zarah. So then the Idach, the remaining part, is Lav Demari Ketavach. It doesn't belong to the owner. And that Kasha of Lav Demari Ketavach, that what you're shechting doesn't belong to the owner, is the same Kasha the Gemara asks on Shara Nisko, without the preamble of given the Shachar Braporta, but just stop, since it's Shara Nisko, which is Asma Hanah. So it's Lav Demari Ketavach. So we put together those two kashas when we were talking about what the Gemara means by Lav Demari Ketavach. But let's go back now just to the Terutzim one by one. The first one we'll do quickly on the fifth or sixth line from the top. Amar Rava. Rava answers both kashas. So on the first we have Amar Rava Ba'imer B'Gemara Zvichahu Oivda. That the case is where he said that I'm only shechting it at the completion of the Shechita. Remember, the kasha about the Tevech HaVodah Zarah was that keeping the Shachar Braporta, the very first beginning of the Shechita, already makes it Aser B'Hanah. So, well, that's if the whole thing is done, the Shem HaVodah Zarah. So, any little bit of sacrificing an animal for HaVodah Zarah makes it into this Zivchi Mason, this Tekrevis HaVodah Zarah. So the Gemara thought, if any little bit does it, and we said, you know, you could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 while you're doing the Shechita, so at the count of 1, he already made it Aser B'Hanah. So Rava says, the Mishnah, the Brice is talking about such a case where he spoke out that he's, if you could divide my Shechit into five parts, I'm only doing the fifth part, the Shem HaVodah Zarah. The first four parts I'm doing totally not for religious purposes. I'm not doing it to worship anyone. But the fifth part I'm doing it to worship HaVodah Zarah. Why would somebody say such a thing? I don't know. It's a crazy Mishigas. We already have that other cases in this Brice are already, you know, the dinim that came together in this Brice are a little bit of a compilation of crazy Mishigasim. But the case of Tevech HaVodah Zarah, where a mayor says Chayiv, will only be in such a case where the person, I guess he was an idol worshiper, but he was not such an avid idol worshiper. He didn't want to do a whole Shechita, Shem HaVodah Zarah. It was enough for him to do a little bit of a Shechita, Shem HaVodah Zarah, but which part? Not the beginning part, but the ending part. He wanted to do that as an act of worship. The rest of it he was not doing as an act of worship, so fine, it only becomes Aser B'Hanah at the end. That's the case. On the second kasha of the Gemara about the Shara Nisko, of course that's not a solution for Shara Nisko, because the Shara Nisko is Aser B'Hanah from beginning to end. He's not making it Aser B'Hanah. It is Aser B'Hanah. So the Gemara's kasha is, how could you be chayiv for shechting a Shara Nisko? It's Lav Demari Ketavach. Whatever that means, whether it means because the owner doesn't own it, or it isn't worth anything to the owner, or the owner has some kind of a diluted ownership. We mentioned the Beis HaLevi as such a suggestion. But whatever it means, whatever the Gemara called Lav Demari Ketavach, the Gemara is bothered, therefore, why you chayv dal v'hei? So to that Amar Rava, here Rava has a much more elaborate answer, although again, it's with a case. Hachav Amai Askinen over here, what case are we talking about? Goin Shemasrei L'Shemen. He handed it over to a shomer. Now, just simple teaching of the Gemara. Who handed it over to a shomer? This means who, when. When was it given over to a shomer? This is one of the somewhat confusing steps of the Shachar V'Tariyah. This means that before the Geneva, the owner had handed it over to a shomer. And when the Ganav stole it, he was not stealing it from its owner, he was stealing it from a shomer. We've been talking all year about Shimon stealing Reuven's shor. So we're going to have to introduce a different name over here. He didn't. He stole Reuven's shor, but he didn't steal it from Reuven's house. Reuven had given the shor to Avram, and right, to watch it for him. So Avram is a shomer, and Shimon is stealing Reuven's shor from Avram's house. Now, how does that help? V'hizik b'veis ha-shomer, v'huad b'veis ha-shomer, v'nigbar dinu b'veis ha-shomer. The whole process of becoming a shor nisko happened in the shomer's house. Avram the shomer was watching the shor, he was guarding the shor, and the shor got out and it was mazik, and then the beis din apprehended the shomer for that and had the din teira and convicted the shor that it should be chayiv misa. So what? And that, okay, so now we have Shimon, our ganav, our burglar, is breaking into the house, the barn of Avraham, who has sitting in his barn a shor that's asur b'hanak, which is shor niskal, but it's not his. It belongs to Reuven. So okay, so what does that do for us? Rabbi Meir savla k'rabbi Yaakov savla k'rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi says we have to pull together two chidushim that we find elsewhere in the Masechta, Rameir means the Rameir of the Brisa. The Rameir of our Brisa, who says that your chayev a knas of dal behei for this shor is because he holds it Rabbi Yaakov and holds it Rabbi Shimon. So what's Rabbi Yaakov? Savalek Rabbi Yaakov de Amar afmi shenigmar dinoi, that even after a gemar din harziru shemer lebaylov murza, that if the shemer returns it to its owner, murza is considered returned. So this is the question over here, is which the Tanaim discuss on Daf Mem Hey is as follows. This Avraham, when let's leave Shimon out of the story. Reuven gave Avraham a shor to watch. Avraham is the shemer. Reuven gave Avraham a shor to watch, and under Avraham's watch, Avraham was a terrible shemer. Under Avraham's watch, the shemer got out and it gored and it killed a person, and Beis Din came and there was aegis brought against him. And the Beis Din had passed that this shemer has to be killed. Okay, they set a date. Okay, let's say Reuven gave the shor to Reuven. Reuven gave the shor to Avraham on March 1st. All of this happened on the 2nd, the 5th, the 10th, whatever. And they set a date that on March 20th they're going to kill the shor. On March 19th, Reuven comes back to town. So Avram says, "Hey, Reuven, good to see you. I have your shor, this shor that you asked me to watch for you. I here it is." And he returns it. So, you know, Reuven says, "Oh, thank you very much." He takes his shor back, and then the next day he gets a knock on the door that the basin is coming to stone the shor. So the Chachamim on Daf Mem Hey say that that's not called doing a hashava, that you didn't do a proper hashava chazara on that shor. He gave you an ox that's worth $1,000, and you gave him back something, a shor niskal, which is asvano, which is about to get stoned. So you still have to pay him $1,000. According to the Chachamim, the shomer, Avram, still has to pay $1,000. He can't patter up his chiyuv, he can't take care of his chiyuv by giving back that shor. Rabbi Yaakov argues. Rabbi Yaakov says that you could, even though the shor is asvano now, but you could give it back to the owner and say, "Look, I'm sorry, I realize I'm not giving it back in exactly the same state that I took it. You gave me a shor that you were planning on using forever and ever or for many years to plow your field and to make money, but I'm giving you back a shor which unfortunately you're not allowed to use anymore, and it's asur b'hana, and basically it's about to come and kill it, but it is the same shor. You asked me to watch this shor, I watched the shor, I'm giving you back the shor, so here's your shor. Two ashlamtilach. That you gave me a shor to watch, we're giving you back the same shor. He's saying back harishah chofanacha, similar to the Mishnah. It's not the same halacha. There's a different machlokes over there. The Gemara over there discusses whether it's totally different or it's not. But we have some familiarity with this because we know the Mishnah Hagoizel, which we were talking about. We had it in the Gemara and that's Samach Vav, but we were just talking about it earlier this week that a ganav is able to say on the chametz sh'arva lav haPesach, harishah chofanacha. Right? If I steal your chametz, $100 bottle of whiskey, I stole it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, I give it back to you. Now, Amish Chedesh needs it, it's worth $100. It's whiskey. Amish Chedesh ER, it's already worthless because it's overall of a Pesach, and now it's Asim HaNov. But the Mishnah says that you can say, this bottle of whiskey, that, of course, if it would break, I would have to pay you $100. But as long as it's still present, I can say, this is what I saw, and I'm giving it back to you. So by the same token, again, it's not necessarily totally Zebazet, but for our purposes, it's a similar halacha. Rabbi Yaakov says that you could say on the Shur HaNiskal HaReish HaLafanecha, you could say that this is the Shur that you asked me to watch, and I'm giving you back this Shur HaReish HaLafanecha.
Is this exactly the Rosh Hashanah, or if it's not, is it a different
svara way to
explain? Which seems to be strange
to him. Is it more strange than the case of the Chavetz? No. So the Gemara Daf Mem Hey, if I'm not mistaken, asks Lema Bahakam, if we get that this is the Machlokes, the same, and the Gemara gives a tzricha, so why it's not exactly the same Machlokes? Ayin Sham. But it's close. But basically, that's what he's doing. He's saying with these three and Arishu Chalfanach. Okay, so not all Tanaim allow it, and maybe even not all Tanaim that allow the case on with the Chametz allow this case. But Rabbi Yaakov holds. Rabbi Yaakov allows it. Rabbi Yaakov holds it. You could say on the Sharanis Galishu Chalfanach. So what is that? Okay, so that's the first step. Rava is collecting a few pieces that he has to put together to make this brisa work. Rav Meir, who said that you're chayev dal behei for shechting this Shur HaNiskal, the case is that he didn't steal Reuven's Shur HaNiskal from Reuven's house. He stole Reuven's Shur HaNiskal from Avram's house, right? The Shemer's house. He stole from the Shemer's house. And he holds like Rabbi Yaakov that the Shemer was able to pater himself from his Chiyuv by returning that Shur to the owner. So what does that do for us? I have a shur, which is basically worthless. No one could use it. No one could use it to plow a field. No one could use it to ride. And no one could shecht it and eat the meat. It's a worthless shur. It has no value, except for one person. There is one person for whom it's very valuable, and that is this shemer. Because this shemer could take the shur and give it back to the owner and say, This is what you asked me to give you, I'm giving it back, I'm off the hook. What if he wouldn't have the shur? What if the shemer would lose the shur? Let's say he leaves his barn unlocked, and that night the shur wandered away, and he never gets to see it again. And then Reuven comes back to him and says, where's the shur that I gave you? I lost it. Now, he lost a worthless shur. But even though he lost a worthless shur, but he's going to have to pay $1,000 for it. Because Reuven didn't give him a worthless shur. Reuven gave him a shur that was worth $1,000. And if he loses it, he has to pay back $1,000. As long as he has this shur, even though it's a shur in Iskal, but since Rabbi Yaakov says, it's the same shur that you gave me, so I can give it back to you and we'll call it even. So as long as the shamer has this shur in Iskal, he could fulfill his obligation by giving back the shur in Iskal. But the moment he loses it, he's going to have to pay out of pocket $1,000. So does the shur really have value? No, it's a worthless shur. But to the shamer, it has value. To the shamer, it's worth $1,000. Because if he doesn't have it, l'mashal, if someone steals it from him, like our friend Shimon did in our story, this Shimon who stole the shur from Avraham, he was stealing from Avraham a shur whose loss would cost him $1,000. So it's a davar hagoyim l'mamayim. It isn't actually mamayim, meaning it isn't something that has inherent value. If I ask anyone, what's the value of this shur? It's zero. Since there's nothing you can do with it, nothing that anyone can do with it, it's $0.00. That's the value of the shur. But for the shamer, Avraham, it's goyim l'mamayim. It causes substantial money because the loss of this shur costs him $1,000. Because now when the owner comes back to get it from him as the shamer, he's going to have to pay him $1,000. So Rabbi Yaakov's shita, that the shemer could say Reish HaKalpanecha, turns this into a Dever HaGoyim L'mamayim. Now we have, in our story, we have Shimon the Ganav, who stole from Avraham's house a Dever HaGoyim L'mamayim, something that costs Avraham money. It's not worth the money, but it costs Avraham money. And he went, and not only did he steal it, he slaughtered it. And now the Rava wants to say, now I can understand why Rav Meir is mechayev him. And he's mechayev him everything. He's mechayev the Karen, he's mechayev the Knas. Because he stole it from Avram. He's shechting Avram's Sure, and for Avraham, it's Gerim Lamamayin. But okay, so we have to fill in one last piece. The Savalikur of Shimon, the Amar, Dabar Gerim Lamamayin, Kimamayin Dami. The Rav Shimon holds that something that causes a loss of money to a person, that's considered significant. That's considered to really be taking away a thing of value from that person. The other Tanayim, those that argue with Rav Shimon, would hold that true, this is grieving a loss for Avraham, but since the thing that I'm taking has no inherent value, so I can't be called a ganav for taking it, or a mazik for being mazik it, because it doesn't really have any inherent value, so it's worthless. I was mazik a worthless thing. It happens to be that now you're going to have to pay $1,000 because you don't have this anymore, but that's just grama. That's, you know, an indirect causation. What did I do to you? I stole your shirt. The shirt was worthless. I caused you to take $1,000 out of your wallet. Yeah, but that's second degree. That's only, you know, indirectly. Torah is not machayev me for what I cause indirectly. Torah is machayev me for what I actually do. Ordinarily, I steal your thing. So but by stealing your shirt, I'm taking away an asset of yours that's worth $1,000. Oh, so that's what I'm ordinarily chayev for. But over here, the Tanaim says, most of the Chachamim say that I took away an asset of yours that was worthless. Now, because I took away this asset, you're going to have to take other money out of it. Okay, but that's not my doing. That's, of course, I caused it. Yeah, but it's not my direct doing. I'm not chayev for that. So many Tanaim hold that you want to be chayev for this. But Rav Shimon holds, Dabar HaGayim L'mamin K'mamin Dami. That anything that causes money is actual money. So according to, what's the case where he says it? Just go on one more line. That if I steal someone's carbon, a person has an animal in his house, which is a carbon oila, and I come and I steal that carbon, I'm a chayev to pay him. That's the machlokes tanaim. Do I have to pay him? Now, obviously, you know, this animal that I have now in my house is a carbon oila. Of course, I can't do anything with it. I have to, you know, I'm not such a successful robber. I didn't get something very valuable for myself, assuming that I'm religious and I keep halacha. So, of course, I'm not going to be able to eat this animal. But let's put that aside. What do I owe the guy that I stole it from? So many tonight would say that our first thought should be that I'm putt. I don't owe him anything. I didn't take anything away from him. It's not really his. Once it became a carbon oila, so it really belongs to Hektish. So I didn't really take anything away from the owner. Reb Shimon says it depends. It depends how exactly did this animal become a carbon oila. Did the owner say harei zoi oila? Or did the owner say harei alai oila? What's the difference? If you say harei zoi oila, so you made this cow into an oila. You don't have to bring any carbon for it. You don't have to bring a carbon oila, except insofar as you have to bring this carbon. If this carbon is gone, so you won't bring a carbon oila. If that's the case, then the robber is pater, the ganav is pater. If the owner had said harei zoi oila, so he's not chayev b'achu yusei, he doesn't need to replace it. He doesn't owe a carbon to Hektish. He just wanted to bring this carbon to Hektish. And he was going to bring it, but now the animal is gone, so he won't bring anything. So then I didn't cause anybody a loss of money, and the ganav is going to be patur. But if Zakir Shimon, if he had said harei alai oila, if he had obligated himself with an idea that he's going to bring a carbon oila, and then he walked over to this animal and said, this will be my oila. Now he's got a kachim shechayiv b'achriyus son. He's responsible to stand behind this animal. Meaning, if this animal is lost, he has to bring a different animal because the obligation is really upon himself. It's a harei alai. So now it's kachim shechayiv b'achriyus son. Zakrib Shimon, then the ganav is going to be chayav. If the owner was makdish with a harei alai, then the ganav is going to be chayav. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference to the ganav if the owner said harei zoi or harei alai? Because if the owner said harei zoi, then he's not chayav b'achor yusai. So it's not goyim l'mamoin. But if he said harei alai, then true, the shur that you took away from him is not an asset of his. It was a carbon oil. It didn't belong to him. It was a carbon oil. You're not chayav him for taking carbon oil. But by you taking this, and now he doesn't have it, so he needs to bring a different one. So he has to go into his flock and choose a different $1,000 shar and bring that one for a carbon ayla. So by your gneva, you were goyring lamam, and you were causing him to incur an expense of $1,000. And Reb Shimon holds up our goyring lamam and kamami, so he's mechayev the ganim for that. The other chacham, the other tanaim hold that no, you're not kayev mami for that. But Reb Shimon holds davar goyring lamam and kamami dami. So Zot Rav, okay, so now we have all the pieces put together. And we have to realize that all three pieces are essential. First of all, the case. Rav is talking about a sinon that we're not talking about where Shimon stole it from Reuven. If Shimon stole it from Reuven and it's a shor and iskal, there's nothing to talk about. He stole it and it's lav demare. Lav demare ketavach. He's not going to have dal, but hey, no way, no how. The case is he stole Reuven's shor, but not from Reuven's house, from the house of a shomer. And then it became a shor and iskal by the shomer and lost all of its value. So it has no value now for anybody in the world. But Rabbi Yaakov's shita is that the shomer could pater himself by giving it back to the owner. Zot Rava. If you don't accept Rabbi Yaakov, if you hold that the shomer can't pater himself, so it's not giving him any money for anything, this share is just utterly worthless. The shomer is going to have to pay $1,000 to the owner, but that's not the ganav's fault. I mean, before the ganav came along, the shomer was chayav $1,000 to the owner. The ganav came along, he just stole a worthless share from the house of the shomer. So if you don't hold the Rabbi Yaakov, then this shor has no value to anybody in the world, and of course the ganav is going to be pater. Fine, we hold the Rabbi Yaakov. So the shomer could pater himself from his obligation to the owner with this shor. So this shor is worth $1,000 to the shomer, and then the ganav stole this shor from the shomer. So he stole from the shomer something which doesn't have any inherent value at all whatsoever. But it has a value to him personally. It's goyim l'mamim for him. It's loss costs him $1,000. So then we come on to, so this is comparable to the case of Kachem Shechayev Bechor Yusin, where somebody steals a carbon oil from somebody's house, and Reb Shimon holds that if that carbon oil was a harei alike kind of a carbon oil, where there was a chiyav achrayas, then the ganav is chayev for that. So then, if Reb Meir holds like Reb Shimon, then we could apply Reb Shimon's rule that he said in the Kachem case, we could apply to the Shor HaNiskal case, that the shomer who has this Shor HaNiskal, which according to Reb Yaakov, he could use to pater himself up, so it's goyim l'mamim, then according to Reb Shimon, it's kemamim dami. Ah, so now between Reb Yaakov and Reb Shimon, we have this Shor HaNiskal having a real value to the shomer, and therefore, Reb Meir will say that when the ganav comes and checks, that he's chayav knas adal v'hei to the shomer.
If the shomer is only going to be paying karen, why does the ganav pay dalit v'hei to the shomer?
Every time that I pay somebody dalit v'hei, for him it was only worth the karen. Right, when I steal your shor, it was worth $1,000, and I shecht it, I end up paying you $5,000. For you, it wasn't worth $5,000; it was only worth $1,000.
I guess I'm thinking that. It's more of like it still belongs to the original guy.
It's weird that the second guy is he's making.
The shomer is making a profit here.
He's making a lot of money on this. And
right.
The owner, I feel like it should be.
Because we say Harishel Chalifanech, the Shelo is still. It still belongs to the original guy.
Yeah.
Interesting. What's interesting is I'm not sure why it bothers you more in this case than in every case. Meaning, it seems like strange. Why should he be making a profit?
It's not even his. It's borrowing it. Unless he has temporary.
Ownership. I mean, why does it doesn't bother you in every case that the guy ends up making a profit just because, lucky him, his shirt got stolen. So he ends up making a profit. Okay, but it's his shirt. Something happened to his shirt. But over here, it's not the shamer's shirt.
Which maybe doesn't need to be, but I guess...
Insofar as the value of it is the shomer's, meaning to the, it belongs to the owner, but to the owner, it's lav kemami dami, because it's not goyim l'mamim, so it's lav kemami dami. It's only kemami dami insofar... I guess what you're bringing out, I guess this is a significant point, that in Reb Shimon, there's maybe really a double chiddush. I mean, the two go together, they go hand in hand, but there's a double chiddush. Meaning, he's saying, Reb Shimon is saying, but you see this in Reb Shimon's original case also, in the Kachem Shechayev Bechor Yusin, that this Svar of Devar Gram Lamamai makes something have a value, and also that value should be considered to belong to this person, to the person for whom it has that value. In the case of the carbon also, the carbon doesn't really belong to the guy, right? It belongs to Hashem. So Reb Shimon says, but since you'll have to provide another shor, if now that this one was stolen, so for you it's Garim Lamamain, so it's considered to have a value of $1,000, not to be worthless, and it's considered to be your value of $1,000. And so too in the case of the Shamer, it's really, what's happening in the case of the Shamer with the Shor Nisgal is exactly the same as what's happening with the Kach Mishchai Bachar Yusan in Reb Shimon's original case. It's considered to be a $1,000 asset belonging to the Shamer. Because even though it's true, the Shamer doesn't own the goof of the Shor. But the value of the Shor, even though the Shor doesn't really have value, but only because of this trick or this chiddush called Davar Gan Lamam Kamami Dami, that gives it value in a certain sense, but in whatever sense it has value, its value is the Shamer's value. So therefore, yeah, it belongs to the Shamer. Right, we're considering it to be the Shamer's $1,000 asset. Okay, now Tosfos has a kind. The Tosfos, we're going to do the second Tosfos first. I'm not sure if we'll come back to the I'm not sure which one is longer, but the one that's long and skinny as opposed to short and fat. We're skipping for today, and we're going to do the one that's short and fat. The Sever like Reb Shimon. Dami. Tezis bothered by a kasha salad. The Gemara, remember, Rava had to put together a few steps. First, he makes up a case, and then he says we need to add some ingredients in halacha. We need to establish that something could be considered, even though it doesn't have an inherent value, it could be considered to have a value. If it has some causative chashivos, so that's something that we take into consideration. We needed two pieces. We needed Rabbi Yaakov to create this situation that it has some causative chashivos, and then you had to bring in Rabbi Shimon that says and a causative chashivos counts. Now that second step, that when you have a causative kind of chashivos, it counts. So Reb Shimon is one of the Tanaim that's on record as saying that. There's another Tanaim that we have on record, in a different kind of a case, as saying the same thing, the same general idea, and that is Reb Meir. Reb Meir himself. Why do I say Reb Meir himself? Reb Meir is the author of our Braisa. Our Braisa is the Reb Meir, right? Reb Meir Mechayev. Reb Meir is the Tanaim that we're trying to explain over here. Reb Meir is one of the Tanaim elsewhere in Bava Kama who's on record as saying that when something has a causative chashivas, that counts as a real chashivas. What's his case? Reb Meir talks about the case of Seiv Shtereitzav Shel Chaveirai. If somebody goes and burns someone else's documents, so you have Reuven is a banker, he's a lender, so he's got a box full of shtereitz where it says that he lent Levi $1,000 and Yehuda $1,000 and Yisachar $1,000 and Shimonith and Yehuda $1,000 and Zvulun $1,000 and Shuldig, right? He has all of his documents that say that he lent $1,000. Obviously, each document is worth more or less $1,000, right? Because with that, he can go and collect his debts. Shimon comes along and he burns the box. He's saving the rights of Shachaveri. He burns up all of Reuven's documents. Now in Halacha, we know already from Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, which is where we began the year. We had a very brief discussion back then. We discussed how shtereis is something which in Halacha is considered in gufoy mamayin. It doesn't have an inherent value, which is maybe a chiddush, but that's not our concern for today. A shtar doesn't have an inherent value, it only has a representative value. What does that mean? Reuven has an asset of $1,000. His asset of $1,000 is the chayiv that Levi owes him. That he lent $1,000 to Levi creates an obligation on Levi's part, and that obligation is Reuven's asset. Now, he has a shtar. I come, I burn the shtar. Does that change the obligation? Levi still owes the money. Levi owes the money not because Reuven has a shtar. Levi owes the money because Reuven lent Levi the money. So whether he has the shtar or he doesn't have the shtar, his asset is still intact. He's just going to have a harder time accessing his asset because his asset is that Levi owes him $1,000, but Levi's able to sneak away now because when he goes and he says, Levi, pay up $1,000, Levi's going to might deny it. And if he denies it, then Reuben's not going to have his raya anymore. So the shtar is, it's not gufay mamoin, the guf hamamoin is the chayv. The shtar is a raya to the chayv. That's called ein gufay mamoin. Shimon is a smart aleck. Shimon comes along to Reuben and says, you know what, Reuben, I could cause a harm for you of $1,000 without touching a single thing you own. And he burns the box, he burns up $1,000, and now Reuben might lose $1,000 because all the shtaris might lose $4,000, right? Because the four shtaris that were in there, each one was worth $1,000, because each one was a raya to $1,000, and now he lost all of his rayas, he might very well lose $4,000. What's the halacha? Did Shimon do anything to him? He burnt paper. Paper is very cheap. That would be worth 4 cents. He burnt rayas to $4,000. Yeah, but that's just, you know, now what's the loss? The loss is that tomorrow when Reuben goes to Levi and Yehuda and Yisrael well, and says, pay out my money, and then Levi's going to say, I never borrowed. And then Reuben's not going to have a riot. They're going to go to base and Reuben's going to lose. So the Reuben's going to end up losing a lot of money because of what Shimon did. So Shimon caused a loss of a lot of money to Reuben. But he didn't actually damage Reuben's property. The property, the asset itself, he didn't touch. It's not like when I take a bat and I smash your car. You own the car and I broke the car. That's gufay mamon. The shtar is not gufay mamon. So over there, Shimon, the way we look at it in halacha, that Shimon didn't do anything, again, except for the value of the paper. But beyond that, Shimon didn't do anything directly to Reuben's money or property or assets, but indirectly through grumma, through causing, he caused him to lose $4,000. So there's machlekes tanayim. Some tanayim hold that you're pater. They say grum means up and pater. Reb Meir holds that you're chayav. He calls this garmi. The way the Gemara expresses it is Reb Meir da'in dina de garmi. Reb Meir judges cases of garmi of causation. Now what that means is, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, Reb Meir doesn't entirely deny the patur called grumma. There is there is merit to the idea that you need a direct action, but he has a different line for how he decides what's direct enough. But that's not important for us, for our purposes. What we're going to call for today is that basically Reb Meir holds a yechayah for causation, for indirect damage. The Chachomim hold the only yechayah for direct maisa hezek. If you take a bat and smash something, if we could see the direct maisa hezek to the owner's property, then you're chayav according to the Chachamim. But if it's just a grum, if you're just causing the damage, you're pater. Reb Meir holds no. Reb Meir doyin dina de garmi, you're chayav even for causing a loss to somebody else, causing a damage to somebody else. At least in some cases, but those details are not for us. That's Reb Meir holds that you're chayav for causing a damage. That's seif shtareis v'shachaveri, burning somebody else's shtareis. So this halacha of Reb Meir is quite similar to Reb Shimon's halacha. Right? The way I was calling it before was that something which, I don't remember the term I used, but that he gives chashivas to causing, what?
Call it indirect.
He gives chashivas to causing, in Reb Shimon's case it wasn't damage, but something which causes value, which has a causative value, is considered that's considered significant. Reb Shimon said it in the case of Kachem Shechayev Bachriyu's son. I stole your carbon oila. I didn't sell anything of yours. Carbon oila is not really yours. It belongs to Hekdesh. It's not worth any money anyway because you can't do anything with it. But it's Gerim Lamamayin because now that you don't have it, you need to buy another one. So I was good that Reb Shimon holds, that's like stealing from him $1,000. So the fact that this shor, the loss of this shor is going to cause you to lose $1,000. Reb Shimon takes that seriously and considers that significant. That's Reb Shimon's chiddush called Davar Gerim L'Mamayin Dami. In a very similar fashion, Reb Meir says that when I go and I burn up your shtaris, and the shtaris themselves don't have any inherent value, so in that way they're a little bit like the carbon oila, but when you don't have those shtaris, you're going to end up losing $4,000. So the Gerim a law that's Dina de Garmi and Remeir holds that you're chayiv for that, don't you, de Garmi? So for cases, they're kind of interchangeable. Rava needed to find a Tana that holds that causative effect is causative value is significant. So there are two Tanaim you could have picked. One's named your Shimon and one's named your Meir. So why did he pick Remeir? Since, after all, Remeir is the Tana that we're trying to explain. True, it's a different Remeir. We're trying to explain Remeir who says that Gona v'tavach v'shab is Gona v'tavach v'avoy deserg, Gona v'shar v'nisko v'tavach, it's chai v'knas v'dal v'hei. But we have to say, well, that Remeir holds of some chiddush about causative value. Why do you have to bring in Reb Shimon? We know, meaning, when you bring in Reb Shimon, you're basically just making a suggestion. Let's suggest that Remeir holds like Reb Shimon, then we'll have a working shot in Remeir. Why do we have to go out on a limb and suggest that Remeir holds like Reb Shimon? Remeir is on the record as he's being done in the Garmi. He holds that causative value is chashuv. So in this case, where he stole from the Shomer, the Sharanisko that the Shomer was going to use to pater himself from his $1,000 obligation to the owner, so we know based on Remeir's own record that he should hold the Yechayah for that. So just say, Remeir is Hameh, Remeir is the only she does it. Why do you have to bring in Reb Shimon? Zuk tastes that, I'll make it even better. Remeir's statement was a stronger one than Reb Shimon's. Taisa says there's a Gemara on the Avtzadi Ches, in the Sugya of Garmi. The Gemara in the Avtzadi Ches says, let's compare and contrast these halachas. Reb Shimon is mechayev in the case, which means that he's mechayev in the case of being graded kodshim shechayev v'achriyusan. The Gemara asks, could we state with certainty that he would also be chayev v'seyev shoyes v'shechaveiroi? And the Gemara says, no, you can't be sure. Seyev shoyes v'shechaveiroi is a bigger chiddush than Reb Shimon's. Why? Because a shtar is ein gufay mamayin. In the case of Reb Shimon, what did you steal? You stole an ox. An ox is a real asset. Rather, this ox was a carbon oilah, so I wasn't allowed to use it, and I had lost my ownership of it. But it was something which is a real asset. Oxen are davrish gufay mamayin. Generally, in the world, an ox is a davrish gufay mamayin. Over here, not all Tanoim hold the Yechayev, because the Maisa, you didn't really have such a good ownership over this ox. Reb Shimon holds off a peek in Yechayev. Fine, you know, it's debatable, but at least we have a starting point of a Deber Shegufay Mamon, something that's a tangible asset. Reb Meir goes out further on a limb. He's Mechayev for burning Shtarais. Shtarais don't have an inherent value ever to anyone. Shtarais Be'etzem, in their basic definition of what they are and their basic identity, they're called the Dervish Sha'in Gufay Mamay. So the Gemara says that even Reb Shimon, who's Machayev in the case of Goynev Kach Meshchayev Ach Yusin, wouldn't necessarily be Chayev by a Sayyid Shoyev Shechaveirai. Which means, Machayev Tesis says, that somebody who is Machayev, a Sayyid Shoyev Shechaveirai, his name is Remeir, he's the king of all the Machayevim for things that have a causative value. He goes even further than Reb Shimon. So that makes the kash even worse, even stronger. Rava has to bring in Reb Shimon. He has much better. He has Remeir. Remeir does more than Reb Shimon. If Remeir is Mechayev, his case, Kol Shekin is Mechayev in Reb Shimon's case. So why does Rava have to go out and say, well, if we suggest that Remeir holds like Reb Shimon, what do you mean we suggest? Remeir surely holds like Reb Shimon. Remeir holds much more than Reb Shimon. So it's two steps. First, that Remeir has an equally good alternative, and then Taisa says, and based on the Gemara of Daf Tzadi Ches, it's actually an even better alternative. So Tema, let's see the Taisa inside. Tema for Taisa, the Lamla and Taisa, and all the Mishnah and Kasha, the Lamla in the name of the subject of Shimon, why does Rav have to say that Remeir holds like Reb Shimon? Lema Remeir Tamei, just say Remeir holds like himself. The Dorin Dina de Garmi, because that he holds of Garmi, he judges cases of Garmi. The Kolchikin is Mechayev and Agarim Lamamid. So, of course, he'll be Mechayev and Agarim Lamamid. The Hammer Bagrez Lakama, the Gemara of Sadi Ches says, Aim and Dabra Bashim and the Kamami Dami, Dabra Shikri Mamain, Dabra Shainikri Mamain, Kigan Sinek Shavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav The Gemara says about Rav Shimon that just because he holds Davar Gadol Mamukom Amidami in the case of an axe, which is Ikrei Mamain, that doesn't necessarily tell you that he'll be Mechayev Esayu Shoresav Shechav Eirei, which is Ain Ikrei Mamain. In Cain, if so, Sir Rameyer, the Mechayev Esayu Shoresav Kedermin and Hasam, then Rameyer, who is Mechayev Esayu Shoresav, like the Gemara says over there, demand the Don Dinigar Mi, Magbi Bey Demesh Shtar Maalya, Rameyer holds Don Dinigar Mi, he would hold that Esayu Shoresav is Chayev the full value of the Shtar. So all the more so he'll be mechayev by davar gadol mamain. I mean, in this case where I stole and I shechted a shor from Avraham, which had a value to Avraham, even though it didn't have an inherent value, but it was a goyim lamamain to Avraham. So we know that Rameyer is mechayev that. Rameyer is mechayev dini degarmi. Kol shekin is mechayev this. That says this is kasha v'yishleim. So Taisus has three teruts into the kasha. The first teretz is the most, we'll call, let's say, just without really a lumdisha change, not really changing any of our basic understandings or definitions, not a lumdisha teretz, but just in terms of the tzrichases, who's a bigger chiddush, who's a smaller chiddush? The kasha of Taisus was predicated on the assumption that Reb Meir was a bigger chiddush than Reb Shimon, and the Gemara says so. The Gemara of Sadiqa says that Reb Meir is a bigger chiddush than Reb Shimon, but Zok Taisus, just because the Gemara says that in a certain respect Reb Meir is a bigger chiddush than Reb Shimon, that doesn't mean that Reb Shimon can't also be a bigger chiddush than Reb Meir in a different respect. And so Zok Taisus, what's that respect? The shtar, you know, Rameyer's case is the shtar case, and the Gemara said, "Well, that's a bigger chiddush because it's ein gufei mamain." But on the other hand, the value of the good, it's ein gufei mamain. But to whatever, so right, its value is only a representative value, a causative value, whatever you want to call it. But that value that it has, that it enables you to collect $1,000 from Levi and Yehuda and Sachar and Zevulun, that value, it has universally. It's not just for one person in the world. Anyone that's holding this shtar would be able to collect that money. Meaning, even though, of course, you know, the shtar says that Levi owes money to Reuven, but there's such a thing as selling a chayiv. If Reuven would sell that shtar to Yosef or Binyamin, then Yosef would be able to collect the money from Levi and from Yehuda and Zachar and Zevulun. So a shtar that says that Levi owes Reuven money, it has a value. You could debate that the value is not a real value because it ain't gufei mamain. But to the extent that you consider it a value, it's not a value just for Reuven. It's a value for anyone that has it. Reuven can sell it to someone else, and then Reuven can sell it to Yosef, and then it'll be a value for Yosef. On the other hand, the value of the devar hagoyim lamamain, like the korban shechay v'achriyusai, which has a value, say Reuven was makdish and oila, he said, Harei alai oila, and he said, this carbon should be my oila, and then someone went and took it away. So we were saying before that, well, this is a real ox, right? It's a devar, she'ikre mamon. Yeah, but it's an ox that's worthless. We're giving it a value. Why? Because its loss is going to cause a harm of $1,000, but that's only true for Reuven. There's no one else in the world that could ever have an interest in this ox. If someone else had this axe, it wouldn't be worth $1,000 for him, even if he bought it from Reuven. If Reuven sells this axe to Shimon Levi or Yehuda, it wouldn't be worth $1,000 to them. It's only worth $1,000 to Reuven. Reuven has a unique set of circumstances that makes this axe have value to him. But it's not transferable to anyone else. A shtar is not like that. A shtar, the value that it has, is fully transferable. It's universal. So in that respect, Reb Shimon's case is a bigger chiddush than Reb Meir's. It goes further and is a better fit for our Raisa. In our Raisa, where we're talking about the Shamer, we called him Avram, the Shamer who has this Shar HaNiskal, which if he would lose it, he would have to pay $1,000 out of pocket. That's called as long as he has it, so he doesn't have to pay $1,000. So it's Goyim L'mamayim for the Shamer. But it wouldn't be Goyim L'mamayim for anybody who's not a Shamer. This is not a value that's transferable to anyone else. So this chiddush, that even a non-transferable value counts, is considered chashav, substantial, counts in halacha, there's only one Tana that ever said that. That's from Shimon. The only person on the record that says that that's kimami dami is Reb Shimon. So that's why the Gemara had to bring in the Rameyer's Reb Shimon. True, the Gemara in Tzadi Ches says that Reb Meir has a bigger chiddush than Reb Shimon, that's in a certain respect. Therefore, we can't be sure that Reb Shimon would hold a Reb Meir's halacha. But by the same token, we also can't be sure that Reb Meir would hold a Reb Shimon's halacha because Reb Shimon's chiddush has its own, his case has its own unique chiddush. So therefore, in our case, which is really more, what we're looking for is more similar to Reb Shimon's case. We're looking for the fact that even a very personalized value also counts in halacha. We have to go to Reb Shimon for that. That's the first answer. That there's also a svara to say the opposite. Meaning, although granted there is a svara that makes your mayor's case the bigger chiddush because it's in gufay mamain, and if you hold it from mayor's case, you should kolshke and hold it from Shimon's case because over there it's gufay mamain. But there is also an opposite svara. Ipcha. We only find your mayor being mechayev din digar. We come to say shavei you can yitzi by cases like that. Sharoi hashtar l'chol ha'olam. Limkar v'ligvay spy. This star has value to anyone in the world. Reuben could sell it to Yosef or Binyamin, and then they could collect the money from Levi Yehudi Yisachar Zevulun. V'chem emesakir gafnei gavich v'otz shachaver. Okay, we didn't mention this case, but Ruya hatfu lachal ha'ayim. Let's skip this case for now. Well, davar hag. It's a case of klaim. It means if I make your tfu into klaim, that's the case where a mayor originally said that you're chayef because of din digarmi. But there again, it's something which is transferable. Aval davar hagoyim lemamim kamoishar aniskol. But the case of that the Gemara always calls davar hagoyim lemamim, like the case of our Gemara shar aniskol, and like the original case of kashim shachayev achru yusen, eino yroi el lezesh yifter by atzmai. It's not worth anything for anyone except for this person that needs, that has this obligation, that he uniquely could pater himself from his obligation using this shar. Over there, Leichayev or Meir, over there, perhaps, or Meir wouldn't, right? Leichayev Tez doesn't mean, as a fact, Tez means, there's no Leichayev or Meir, meaning we don't know that Meir would be Leichayev. Meir never spoke out such a chedosh. Lahachi Ka'amar, that's why Rava says in our Sugya, the Sabbath of Reb Shimon, that Meir holds like Reb Shimon. Okay, so the first teretz of Tezis is, what I mean when I say it's not a lumdish teretz, it's not changing any of our assumptions, is that we're still understanding that Reb Meir and Reb Shimon are both saying that we could put them both in the same category. They're both saying similar kinds of halachas. A person damaged someone else's property, but it was such a case that it wasn't a normal, conventional kind of an asset, like I went and I smashed his car. But I damaged him in a way, I harmed him in a way that is not really direct, it's only through what I caused. And we have Reb Meir in one case saying Chayev, Reb Shimon in another case saying Chayev. And we thought that Reb Meir's was the bigger chiddush. And it says, but in a certain way, Reb Shimon's is the bigger chiddush. But what's the chiddush that they're saying? They're saying the same thing. They're saying that when you're gerim someone a loss, meaning they're both being basically saying that you're chayef for grama. That was the assumption of the kasha of Taisis, and that remains in the first teretz of Taisis. That they're basically both saying that you know, what, whereas Otanayim hold that you need a direct mitzvah hezek, you're not chayav just for causing. Over here, you're chayav for causing. You burn someone's shtaris, you cause that he can't collect the loan. You steal someone's carbon, you're causing him to have to take out a different animal from his flock or buy a different animal, which is going to cost him $1,000. So in each case, you're doing something indirect, you're causing a damage, and most Tanayim will say pater, but Reb Meir says chayav, Reb Shimon says chayav, but each one in his own case. And Taisus is just playing around with which one is a stronger statement of that chiddush. But the esem teichen of the chiddush, what is the chiddush? The chiddush is that you're chayef for a grama. You're chayef for causing someone a loss. And that chiddush is the same in Reb Meir and in Reb Shimon. That's the lumness of Taisus up to this point. Now Taisus says v'yesh v'farshim. Taisus quotes the yesh v'farshim, they give a second teretz. Let's try to get into this teretz a little. The reason why Rav has to bring in Reb Shimon is Mishim Reb Shimon Kamar behead the Chayev Arba v'Chamisha, v'Devar Agreim l'Mamayin. Avol Mimaydim Chayev Meir b'Dinin Degarmi in Loichiyat Shchayev Arba v'Chamisha v'Devar Agreim l'Mamayin. Taisa says that Reb Shimon is the only one that's on record as saying that Yichayev a Knas of Dal behead v'Devar Agreim l'Mamayin. Reb Meir says Yechayev for Dina Degarmi, but that wouldn't mean that he'd be Mechayev a Knas of Dal Vehe. We hear what he sounds like he's saying is that, let's suppose the cases are all exactly equal. Anyone that's Mechayev for one would be Mechayev for the other. Right, so let's we could state with certainty There are mayor who holds that your chaya for burning the shtarais would also hold that your chaya for burning someone's carbon. A carbon chaya b'achriusa, your chaya for burning that. But Reb Shimon said something different. Reb Shimon said that when you steal that carbon, you're chayav like a ganav. You're chayav kefel, you're chayav dal the hay. In some cases, that we never heard from Reb Meir. Reb Meir talked about mazik. When you burn someone else's property in such a way that you cause it, it isn't actually a loss, but it causes a loss, you're chayav for that. But we never heard that Reb Meir holds you become a ganav. And Reb Shimon, who says that Grainim, Kachem, Chayav, Achayusan, Chayav, Kefel, and Chayav, Dal, Vehei, Reb Shimon is calling you a ganav. What's the chilek Tezis making? It's not really so clear necessarily, when Tezis doesn't have so many words. One might perhaps argue that Tezis just means mechalik between Karen and Knas, maybe without a chidr, without a hezer, but just saying that Knas is a bigger chidr than Karen, maybe just because her mayor is mechayev the Karen, you wouldn't necessarily know that he's mechayev the Knas, maybe. But a better working shot, and what Tezis is saying, is this thing over here, Yesoid, which I would be mocked him like this. You know, Baba Kama has two halves. Right? The first half of Baba Kama is about Mezikin, Nizkei Mamon, right? Property damages. And the second half of Baba Kama is about Gneva, stealing. And what Tezis is being mechadish over here is that there's be a Yisui, two separate, you could call it a Yisui for the whole Baba Kama. Because there's a be a Yisui to Chilak between the first half of the Masakta and the second half of the Masakta. Between the Chiyuv of Nezikin and the Chiyuv of Gneva. By Nezikin, you're chayav for the loss, for harming someone. You don't. It's not totally necessarily on a particular chayfetz that there should be a chayfetz that's associated with him, and the hefsid, the loss is chal on that chayfetz or is misyaches to that chayfetz. If I harmed him, if I caused him to lose money, then I'm chayav for that. In Geneva, though, you're not chayav for causing somebody a loss. You're chayav for taking away his things. It has to have a shame, a label of his chayfetz. And so when Reb Shimon says, what Reb Shimon is saying is that since I have this ox, and really the ox is a carbon oil, right? Or it's a sharanitzel. It doesn't really have any inherent value. But since it has a grammatical value, right? So if I would lose it, I would have to spend $1,000. That gives the ox a chashivos that is considered my ox. It's like it's my $1,000 ox. And then when you steal it, you're stealing my $1,000 ox. By Gneva, you're not chayav for the grama. You're chayav because the fact that this chayfetz has a gramadika value makes it into a real chayfetz of mine, or into a real asset. So now we could say that you stole my asset. Seyur Shtreis of Shechaveri, what did your mayor say? The difference is not so much between the shtar and the karbon. It's more about what did your mayor say about the shtar and what did your shimon say about the carbon. Your mayor said about the shtar that if you burn someone's shtar, you have to pay. Okay, you have to pay. That means that since the loss of the shtar will cost him money, so that's called a loss. But does that put the value into the shtar? Not necessarily. So would there then be a teres geneva on the shtar? Not necessarily. So now, according to a mayor, if you go and you steal his carbon, yeah, we know there are mayor holds that you're chayav for grama, and when you steal his carbon, he's going to have to spend $1,000. So a mayor will make you pay him $1,000. Karen, yeah. But kefel, dal vehei, for that you need to be a ganav. A ganav means that you took something of his. Does he have a shur here that's worth $1,000? According to your mayor, no. According to your mayor, at least we don't know. According to your mayor, all we know is that If you'd steal his shor, you caused him a loss of $1,000. Okay, so pay him $1,000. But Rav Shimon says more. Rav Shimon says, the fact, since the loss of this shor would cause me $1,000, that puts a chashivas into the shor that it's called a $1,000 asset of mine. It's a chayfetz that's considered to have a bailus, which is worth $1,000. If the chayfetz with a bailus, then they can have a parasha of Geneva. And then if someone steals it, not only is he chayav for my loss, but he's chayav kefal, he's chayav dal v'hei, because there's a whole parasha of Geneva. A parasha of Geneva requires that there's a chefza. And Rameir never told us that chiddush. Okay, it's too late. Now we have to run to Mincha. That's some food for thought. Maybe to chew on. Maybe we'll continue with it a little bit next time. Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe I should have kept the window open.
That cold air gets to your feet, you know what I'm saying?
Gets to your feet. Love it.